Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Father God, we give thanks for this day, Lord, this day that you have made, Father. We ask for your blessings and your miraculous healings and all those who are suffering with any sickness right now, Father God. And we just pray that you keep us all safe, Father, from all harm. And we ask that you go before us in all we do, Lord, and that you open our eyes to your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. All right. How many of you wear glasses? Even if it's just to read, right? Almost all of us, right? A lot of us. I remember my mid to late 30s, I used to brag about, you know, I can't hear anything because I play the drums, right? I can't hear, but I can sure see good, right? So I'd always brag about that. You know, people had glasses on. I'm like, oh, I can see just fine. But as I reached 40, you know, I needed glasses to read. I couldn't read anymore. So I started getting the reading glasses, you know. And then by the age of 45, I was wearing glasses full time. You know, and I sure do miss wearing like any sunglasses I wanted. You know, now you gotta get either transitions or, you know, you gotta have specialized glasses. But, so I was blind, but with the help of America's best eyeglasses, now I can see, okay? Amen? All right? So, and the same thing could be said about my life before I knew Jesus. I was blind, and now I can see. Amen? And that's what my sermon's about today. And can you go back one? My sermon title? I was blind, but now I see. Amen? One evening just before Christmas, there was a man walking through the streets of an eastern city. And the store windows were beautifully decorated, like that. And he observed three little girls intensely staring into one of the windows. And he discovered that the girl in the center was blind. And the other two girls were trying to explain, you know, what was in the window. They were trying to describe it to her. And they said to her, "Can't you see that teddy bear and that doll? Look at that pretty pink bow." But the little girl just stood there with a blank expression on her face because she couldn't see anything. And she couldn't appreciate all the beautiful things that were before her. And now this is an illustration of the effort that we as Christians are making to arouse the unsaved, to tell them about what they're missing out on, right? To explain to them and to give them an interest and a delight in the spiritual things that we have a delight in. And the reason we can't do so is because the sinner is spiritually blind. And that's what I'm going to preach about today, being spiritually blind. And so the premise of today's text is that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. And if this happened today to someone in our congregation, it would be a miracle, right? It would be a miraculous celebration, right? We would be amazed, we'd be excited, and we'd just be amazed by it, right? But these people, they're just upset because this is happening on the Sabbath. And they're upset, you know, instead of rejoicing in the miracle of his healing, they lecture this man about how sinful it was to do this on the Sabbath. And they actually throw him out of the church. They throw him out of the church. So, this may have been this man's first time in a church, and you know, and they throw him out. And how messed up is that, right? You know, and then, so that happens to a lot of people. They have a bad experience the first time they're in a church, and they didn't never go back. They don't want to go back. So they had no idea who he was. They didn't even know that he was actually blind before, and they accused him of lying. They even brought his parents in to prove that he was blind, you know, and what a horrible first experience for him in a church. It was a synagogue, but we're calling it the church for to relate to today, amen? So Now in today's text, Jesus hears about this man he healed being thrown out of the church. So he goes to look for him and he finds him. And now remember, this guy's never seen Jesus, right? Because he was blind when Jesus put the mud on his eyes and told him to go wash it. So he had never seen him. And so he doesn't know what he looks like. And Jesus begins the conversation by saying, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man says, "Yes, who is he?" And Jesus says, "It's me." And bam, he believes. Amen? And today's text is more about the blindness of the Pharisees than the blindness of this man. Amen? This blindness or darkness is the theme in most of John's Gospel. He keeps talking about people being in the darkness, people being blind of faith. Amen? So the light and the darkness of the world and how Jesus is there, and how in Jesus there's no darkness at all. Okay? So that's what the premise is in this text. So let's talk about spiritual blindness. What it is and what it means. Okay? According to the Bible, spiritual blindness is a voluntary state. Spiritual blindness is a voluntary state. And it's not something that just happens like faith. It's a choice. Just like faith, it's a choice. And free will, right? We're given a choice to choose whether we want to believe or whether we don't. Amen? And these Pharisees had all the evidence they needed to know, or at least inquire, that this was the Messiah. They had all the evidence they needed, but they chose to deny it because it wasn't the Savior they expected, right? He was disrupting their little world, and it wasn't the Savior they expected. And John 3:19, like that, trying to keep himself in the darkness, right? John 3:19 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of light." I got a really good buddy of mine at work, and he always says, "You know, of course I like sinning. Sinning's fun, right? You know, people like being in the darkness, and it's fun until your world starts to fall apart." Amen? But remember, shortly before the Lord spoke these words to Nicodemus, which were John 3:19, the Lord had cleared the temple courts, right? He cleared the temple courts and disrupted their way of life and their income. This is the way they made their money, right? So they're upset with the Lord because this isn't the Savior they expected. Amen? So they were blind to His mercy and they were blind to His grace, and they were just thinking about themselves and what they were doing. So these men were walking in the darkness because they had hardened their hearts towards Jesus. They were walking in the darkness because they had hardened their hearts. And that's what a lot of us do today, right? A lot of us harden our hearts. And if that puts us in the darkness. It's the same for us today. We can choose to harden our hearts to a situation or certain people or to even God, and this starts to separate us from the heart of God. Amen? So that's why we're called to love even our enemies, as Pastor Perry talked about last week, that, you know, even on social media, that we are called to love our enemies. So we left off last week with this man being turned away from the church for his beliefs. But the good news is that when religion turns us away, God is always there and Jesus is always there to take us in. Amen? So He comes to meet us in our pain, and He comes to meet us in our suffering. And, you know, and we talk about it in CR all the time. He comes to meet us in our addictions, and He comes to meet us in our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You know, sometimes even when we're not looking for Him, He comes to meet us right where we're at. Amen? Verse 35 says that Jesus heard that they had thrown Him out, and when He found Him, He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So notice it says that He found Him, right? He found Him. Jesus had gone looking for Him, just like He does for a lot of us today. Jesus had gone looking for Him. So why does Jesus come looking for us? Because He loves us. Amen? Jesus loves us, and that's why He comes looking for us. Romans 5:8, which we talked about in Bible study on Wednesday, that God demonstrated His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us. And we use that verse a lot in CR, you know, because we think about it after we're in recovery and, you know, after years of being in recovery, we look back and say, wow, you know, Jesus was there for us while we were still out there running and gunning. Jesus was there waiting for us. Jesus was there with the opportunity for a new life in Christ, and all we had to do was turn and admit that we were ready. And that's what the Lord does for each and every one of us. He's there for us. And so it also says he had been thrown out. So sometimes being thrown out of something is a good thing. You know, sometimes the Lord closes certain doors so he can open other ones. And sometimes we need that. And it's not always easy. It doesn't always feel good. But God's got, you know, it's in our best interest. Amen? Now, when Jesus finds him, what does he say to him? Does he say, congratulations on your healing? Does he say, life should be much easier now that you can see, right? Does he say, sorry you got kicked out of your church? That's messed up, you know. No, this healing was not really about his sight. This healing was about his salvation, right? About his salvation. And his salvation was the important thing here. Charles Spurgeon writes, all the preaching in the world cannot make a man see the truth so long as his eyes are blinded. Amen? All the preaching in the world cannot make a man see the truth so long as his eyes are blinded. So, the first thing Jesus says to him is, do you believe in the Son of Man? And this is why Jesus healed him. Not only to give him his physical sight, but to take away his spiritual blindness. And the man had not figured that out yet. So, you see, our faith is much more important to God than our physical health. And that's what's hard for us to understand sometimes is, you know, the Lord's more worried about our spiritual health than our physical health. Amen? So, we can live to 100 and die in our sleep. But if we don't know Jesus, what good is that, right? What good is that? We're talking about eternity here, right? Eternity is a long time. And 100 years is just a drop in the bucket, right? Amen? So Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, who is he, sir? And the man, he says, who is he, sir? And Jesus says, tell me so that I may believe in him. This man had been praying and believing in the Scriptures because he had been raised that way and just needed to be pointed in the right direction to find Jesus. He just needed to be pointed in the right direction. Isn't that the same for a lot of us in our walk of faith? Sometimes we just need the right person to come along and point us in the right direction. We do study and we do believe, but sometimes, you know, that we just need a push. We need someone to come along and help us to believe. The word, see if I can pronounce this, pisteo in Greek, is the word for believe. The word pisteo is the word for believe. And we find it throughout the Scriptures. The word pisteo also means, sort of like the word that Pastor Perry was talking about last week, to throw all your weight in one direction or to look no further. And meaning that you're convinced that there is no other road or other way. None other way to Jesus. Amen? So the word pisteo means, you know, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Basically. It means the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ. I saw this quote that said, the clutching of a drowning man is the desire of faith that God wants us to have in Jesus Christ. I'll read that again. The clutching of a drowning man is the desire of faith that God wants us to have in Jesus Christ. So holding on for dear life, right? Holding on for eternal life. Amen? And just, can you imagine someone drowning and how they're clutching out, trying to save themselves? That's the kind of desire the Lord wants us to have. That's the kind of faith for Jesus that we're supposed to have. Amen? It's all or nothing with Jesus. We're called to put Him first in everything we do. All or nothing with Jesus. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So the man says, "Who is he?" And Jesus tells him, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one who is speaking to you now." Wow, right? He's the one speaking to him now. The man says, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him right there on the spot. And this is one of the first times that the Lord allowed someone to worship him, because his time had not yet come, right? And so this is one of the first times that the Lord actually allowed someone to worship him. And so this man went from blindness to faith and then to worship. You know, isn't that the natural progression of being a Christian? We go from being blind to having faith and then to worship, right? And that's what we're here every Sunday, right? So we can worship and study God's Word. Amen? Well, Jesus has used all these verses in this chapter up to this point for one eye-opening statement. Amen? And that is, the blind will see while the seeing are blind. One of the greatest spiritual tragedies for people, including those Pharisees, would be to live in the darkness when you could live in the light. You know? There was once a woman named Rose Crawford, and I think I've told this story before, but she had been blind for 50 years. And as I did more research on it, she could see, so she was 4, and then she got the measles, she got a really bad case of the measles, and she went blind at 4 years old, okay? So she finally had an operation at 54 in an Ontario hospital. And she said, "I just can't believe it." As the doctors lifted the bandages from her eyes, she wept because for the first time in 50 years, she could see all these bright colors and dazzling beauty and just everything that she was looking at, right? She could now see. And the amazing thing about her story, however, was that 20 years prior to that, they had already developed surgical techniques that would have saved her sight. And she didn't know. She had no idea. No one had told her. You know, being blind, no one had told her. And I guess, you know, you can't be looking at much social media, right, while you're blind. So she needed someone to tell her, right? So she went 2 decades and continued in her blindness when the cure was available the whole time. No one had told her that she could be healed. And this is why Jesus said to the disciples in Mark chapter 16, and to us today, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to all man, right? That's what Jesus calls us to do. And that's why, because some people may not know. Some people may need that right person to be in their path and explain to them what Jesus has done for them. Amen? Verses 39 say, Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What are we blind to?" What are we blind to? So Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now you claim that you see, and your guilt remains." So, the Lord ends this chapter once again by mixing the spiritual with the physical to send a powerful message to these blind Pharisees, right? Go one more. Okay, there's the Pharisees, okay? So they had been taking all of Jesus' words on a physical level, and we talked about this. We've been talking about this throughout this chapter, but they took everything at a physical level. So when the Lord tells them, "Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life," you know, they'd say things like, "Man, you're sick. You serious? You want us to eat your body and drink your blood?" You know, and then the Lord tells them, "You must partake in me as you do your food for your daily survival." That's what he meant. Then he says, "You must know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And they told him, "We've never been in bondage to any man." They had never been, this generation had never been in jail. So, you know, once again, they're taking it on a physical level, right? And then Jesus told him, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. And they said, what, are you older than Abraham? Remember, we preached about that. We talked about that. So once again, they're taking everything at a physical level. Amen? They were constantly missing the message because in their own minds, they had it all figured out. And they didn't want anybody to disrupt their way of life. So in verse 39, Jesus says, I have come for judgment. In John 3, God says that God did not send Him, Jesus, to condemn the world, but to save it. He didn't send it to condemn the world, but to save it. Amen? So the world is condemned already, but Jesus came to bring judgment because He offers a choice. And that's what they mean by judgment, because we have a choice. And if you say no to Him, that's your judgment. You've made your own judgment. Amen? If you say no to Jesus. If you say yes, you are free, and you are free indeed. Amen? So Jesus comes so that through Him, your judgment is established. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. It's our choice. We have a choice. Amen? Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That should be enough right there for all of us to say yes. Amen? But the prerequisite for being saved is that you admit that you cannot save yourself. And we talk about that in CR as well. One of our lessons is called Admit. Admitting that we can't do it alone. Admitting that we can't save ourselves. Admitting that we need Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? Spiritual blindness comes to those and stays with those who claim arrogantly that they can see just fine. This kind of arrogance says things like, I don't need your Jesus. Says things like, why don't you Bible thumpers just leave me alone? And if you are willfully blind long enough, that becomes your judgment. Amen? The Lord says that, you know, the Lord will eventually say, okay, fine, stay in the dark then. Right? Romans 1:28 says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. He gave them over to a depraved mind. That's the last thing we want the Lord to do for us, is give us over to a depraved mind. Amen? So this is a good story to tell unbelievers about. How sometimes the religious are more lost than the spiritually blind. You know? And that's the case here. This letter is being written to explain that, you know, these Pharisees are more lost. These Pharisees are more lost than the blind man. Or than the blind man was in the first place. Amen? Martin Luther writes, God wants our conscience to be certain and sure that it is pleasing to Him. This cannot be done if the conscience is led by its own feeling, but only if it relies on the Word of God. Only if it relies on the Word of God. So once again, we don't have to do this alone. Amen? So open your eyes to the Word of God and rely on the Word of God. We have to open our eyes. We have to rely on the Word of God in order to receive His amazing grace. Amen? Amen? We stay in the Word. We were once blind, but now we see. Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. And we thank You, Lord, that we don't have to walk in this world alone. We thank You, Lord, for all You have done for us, for creating us in Your image, for giving us the strength to get through each and every day, Lord. Lift these prayers up to You right now in the name of Your Son, Jesus. And lift up all those struggling with any sickness, especially those struggling with this coronavirus right now, Father God. We pray that you bring healing to this land. We pray that this vaccine is successful in conquering this virus that's taken so many lives, Father God. We lift up all those battling addictions as well, Lord. That you give them the strength, Father, to get through, to get to the right people and the right programs, Father, that they turn and seek you in their lives. That you give them the strength, Father, to beat this horrible disease of addiction as well. In Jesus' name. We lift up our country, Father, right now, and good government, Lord, and just ask that you bring an anointing upon our country, that you bless all those who are in charge and who are running things, Lord, with wisdom and knowledge, that you bring peace to this land, Father God, that we may continue the mighty work that's been going on in your name, Father, that we don't lose sight of doing everything in your name, Lord. This country was created in your name. We also lift up Pastor Rick and Robin as they're traveling back from the North Country, Lord, and through some pretty heavy snow, that you we've asked for traveling mercies for them, Father, and that you get them back here safe, Lord. And all those who are traveling in the snow right now. Now lift up your prayers, either spoken or unspoken. Hear our prayers. Lord, I lift up my family in California who's lost loved ones here recently, that you give them strength and provision, and that you bring them comfort, Lord, in your mercy. And we lift all these petitions up to you, Lord, and we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.